Today, in the grips of a cash famine by design. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, now this post covering finance and property news. Well, the 14th of February is the closing date for submissions to the Treasury relating to the ongoing access to cash in Australia. Actually, I made a show on this called Are We in the Midst of a Cash Long Con? And there I argued that the government may well be playing a long con with the community ahead of the upcoming election. Remember that the Treasury paper setting up the request for submission says that cash acceptance refers to the practice of businesses accepting cash as a form of payments for goods and services. Cash acceptance levels must remain sufficient to enable consumers, including those unable to use digital payments methods, to participate in the economy. The Albanese government has said that it would mandate that businesses must accept cash when selling essential items like groceries and fuel from 2026. But they argue for a carve-out for small businesses and that cash transactions should only be accessible for those essential services. So my suspicion is this is more political than anything else. The government knows that cash availability is a big issue and it can't be avoided. So this Treasury paper allows the issue to flow on beyond the next election. And meantime, the neoliberals in the pockets of the big banks still want to take our rights to use cash away. So on one hand, they can appear to be taking the rights of cash seriously, but can also continue to assure the banks that they support them. It's a classic yes minister long con. Now, we can break that by making sure we provide responses to Treasury along the lines of, first, there should be no carve-out for essential services, which is, by the way, difficult to define, and all businesses should still be required to accept legal tender in the form of cash. That's a simple antidote to the long con, but it will only work if cash is widely available at low or no cost. Both totally counter, by the way, to recent banking strategy, as the Regional Banking Inquiry and Bank Closures Report showed. Indeed, the Australasian Convenience and Petroleum Marketers Association, or ACAPMA, has long advocated for policies that ensure fuel retailers, especially those in regional and remote communities, can continue to provide essential services in a commercially sustainable manner. So they say for fuel retailers, this could mean an obligation to hold and process cash transactions regardless of consumer payment preferences or operational considerations. While cash usage in Australia has declined significantly in recent years, the ability to conduct transactions when electronic payment systems fail is undeniably important for ensuring fuel supply continuity, particularly in regional areas vulnerable to extreme weather events. I refer you to the current situation in North Queensland, for example. But while they support the proposed cash mandate in principle, they say it is subject to critical caveats relating to broader economic and financial trends that directly impact fuel retailers. First, many fuel retailers in regional areas are already struggling to deposit and withdraw cash thanks to the banking closures and the steady decline of cash usage across Australia that has led to increased costs for businesses handling physical currency. Therefore, they say, for the proposed cash mandate to be effective and equitable, it cannot be considered in isolation. Instead, it must be designed in conjunction with policies addressing the availability of banking services in regional Australia, the cost pressures associated with cash handling, and technological innovations that could mitigate those costs. Now, we have run some extra questions through our SME surveys specifically on these issues. And it shows that over the last 3 years, the proportion of SMEs prepared to take cash payments has dropped significantly. It's around 60% currently. But despite this, more than 75% of those SMEs would welcome a cash mandate, but only, again, with the caveat that first cash is readily available and at low or no cost. So actually, my findings chime with those from ACAPMA. There was also a high level of support for cash in regional and rural areas, compare with the larger cities. Again, no surprise there. So the bottom line is this, that SMEs are willing and able to take cash, but only if it's available. But this cash supply issue is complex. And as reported by the AFR recently, there is a critical upcoming date of July when the temporary arrangements with Armaguard, who moves cash around the country, are up for review. Recall that Armaguard was handed a $50 million lifeline until the end of June by the banks and major retailers last year on the assurance that it would find ways to cut costs and streamline operations to make the business more viable. That rescue package took months to negotiate, with banks wary that Lindsay Fox, one of the country's richest men, was trying to make them pay for a poor decision to expand the Armaguard business by buying its only rival less than a year before the company warned that it was in danger of collapse. As Armaguard teased on the brink last year, some retailers began to hoard cash. A deal followed, but Armaguard ended up with a one-year lifeline, not the $190 million 3 years that it sought. The money to keep Armaguard operating was eventually provided by CBA, Westpac, ANZ and NAB, along with Wesfarmers, Coles, Woolworths and Australia Post. The deal was made contingent on Armaguard reducing delivery routes to cut truck movements, introducing new technologies and stripping other costs from the business. While Armaguard has not hit every milestone, industry sources say that the company was trying hard to reduce its cost base and has still had a long way to go. Lenders are pushing Linfox for more detailed information on the private company's accounts and ownership structures so they can determine how assets are valued and where the money is spent. Paper-based processes where drivers pick up cash in depots are being digitized. Since the first tranche of emergency funding was received in July, Armaguard has created two operational boards, cash in transit and a division known as its ITS and ATS, which holds technology assets and ATMs. Former Armaguard CEO Mick Cronin left the group last year. One of the most challenging issues is working out an independent pricing mechanism which will regulate Armaguard's revenue and profit if it continues to operate the business over the long term. Sources say negotiations on this mechanism, which Armaguard has accepted as necessary, have some way to play out, and it would require agreement on the appropriate margin for what might become, in effect, a regulated utility, plus oversight and auditing arrangements and ACCC approval. Another issue that needs to be resolved is the role of Westpac, the only bank that provides commercial cash to Armaguard's largest corporate customers, including the supermarkets. Cash moving in Armaguard's trucks is Westpac's until it's received by the customer. And that contract ends also in July. Westpac is reluctant to renew it, which will force the banks to work out a collective solution or possibly whether the RBA takes a role. They print the notes, of course, but have so far outsourced their distribution. Armaguard has not indicated whether it will remain the long-term owner of the business. Banks are not keen to replicate its infrastructure if it does not. Now, we know that the RBA has restarted these negotiations between the banks and Lindsay Fox Armaguard, amid concerns the monopoly cash transport business could run out of money when its current lifeline expires, jeopardising the movement of coins and banknotes across the economy. Without Armaguard, ATMs, bank branches and shops would have no means to deposit their cash or replenish their float. Actually, this is one of the most compelling reasons to create a government bank, perhaps for full banking via the Australia Post network. But of course, this is beyond the election horizon of May. So Labor can say that they're doing things in response to the public pressure, as encapsulated in the regional bank inquiry. Access to physical cash is a human right, which needs protecting, but of course the banks hate it. How the lifeblood of banking, cash, became an expensive overhead is the shame here. But the government con is also a big part of the story. So remember to make your submission by Valentine's Day. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.